You don't see the humor in your situation.
Just squeeze off cash, said any weak man.
Yeah.
All right, we're here at Skid Row Studios right now. It's been a while since I've done one of these things where, you know, I find somebody that I'm interested in. I think what they do is interesting and unique. And, you know, I like to sit down and talk with these people that have these types of talents. And the person we're talking with tonight, he's an artist here in Los Angeles. You may have seen his art and not even known it. You may have driven by, you may have been somewhere where, you've seen things going on, and, you know, every once in a while you'll see something and it'll just catch your eye. Then you see it again somewhere else here in the city. That happened to me, and I like to try to understand what's going on behind the scenes and where does this come from and where's this inspiration come from? Because, you know, a lot of the people that do this art that you see out on the street, they're the people that really make up the fabric of this city. And they know this city in a way, you know, us people just driving to our jobs stuck on the freeway don't really understand. You know, here at Skid Row Studios, the people that have been here, they've seen the artwork that we have here in the studio. You know, everybody loves it and everybody's inspired by it and people are taking pictures with it. And when I was first talking to people to come here to the studio and do something special here, you know, I got a lot of guys in here. They were like, oh yeah, man, you know, whatever. I could do whatever you want, you know, whatever, just pay me. I didn't feel like they had the soul of the city in their best interest. They were just trying to do a job and get paid and get out. And I ran across our guest, and I had a good feeling that he understood this city in the way that I wanted to get out on the walls of our studio. And that was very important to me because I wanted the artwork here at Skid Row Studios to represent how we feel about Los Angeles and living in this city and, you know, represent all sides of this city, not just what you see on TV or what people think Los Angeles is. And, he did it. He did it in a good way, and he did it in a way that, I think, pays tribute to these types of people that I'm talking about. And so who we have in the studio tonight is Tony T.
What's going on, everybody?
What's up, Tony T?
You know, right here, man, just trying to do it right here with you, man. Appreciate the opportunity for having me here, you know?
I appreciate you coming in, and you know, we've been talking about doing this ever since we met, and I wanted to make sure that we did something to capture what it is that you're doing and your art and the meaning behind it and your motivation and your inspiration. And so, I mean, maybe you can tell me a little history about yourself to let us understand, like, kind of how you grew up and what got you into art. What made you get out there and start doing this?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, man, I'm excited about the show. Yeah, we definitely have talked about it for a while now. Yeah, you know, residing from Los Angeles, I've definitely, you know, I have so much inspiration just in culture in general around the city. I've bounced around from Hollywood to West LA, back and forth around the city. You know, growing up with my brother, he also was an artist, still is an artist. So definitely, I feel like I've got it from my family. You know, from my pops as a kid, you know, him sending me letters from prison with these remarkable drawings that really just amazed me. You know, like, I used to see these drawings, I used to be like, man, I'm just so moved by it, you know, especially something like that coming from my dad. I think really moved me. Bunch of my cousins were into graph, so I think that's kind of the elements that I began to pick up as I was growing up. Yeah, man, a lot of my family has to do a lot with my inspiration as far as my style. You know, I remember opening up a Subway art magazine in my cousin's bedroom and straight, you know, pocketing it without giving them any heads up. Took it home and basically was just blown away, you know. So that's, I think, really what, literally opened up this field for me as far as street art, culture, graffiti. Graffiti is the roots that I come from, you know, so I feel that my style has a lot to do with, you know, flexing and breaking down the anatomy of a subject or, you know, lettering. And yeah, man, that's pretty much.
So what was the first step, in terms of, you know, you said you got that Subway magazine and you really, were into the art that they were displaying on those pages. What did you do next right after that? Did you start to sketch? Did you try to kind of, see if you could do that style that you saw in the magazine or what was the very next step to getting into knowing that you are an artist?
I know I left this part out, but I have been drawing since I was a kid. You know, me and my brother were always very competitive. So when I picked up this magazine, it was a new wave of art for me. It was the first time I've seen it. You know, this is actually before high school. So yeah, I like definitely doodled around with bubble letters and stuff like that. Color schemes. So I think that book literally did really like get me to where I'm trying to get as a graffiti artist because of how much history I had behind it and how much passion was behind rocking a freight side to side. I was really blown away by that to this day too. But yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with high school too, you know, coming up, and growing up around a lot of writers that all had different goals. You know, in the early 90s, you had your tag bangers and your writers that were actually out, you had your guys that were actually out there trying to flex letters and really, really put in the essence of what graffiti is all about. And I didn't understand that when I was a kid, you know, I was a toy. I wrote on anything. I wrote on shit somebody's house. It was just that itchy finger, you know. But I think that just by me learning from all my experiences, I can definitely look back at all of that and really, really appreciate it.
So you went from kind of discovering this new art. Do you feel like developing a style is something that you can perfect, or are you always trying to evolve your style? Are you always learning something new? Are you taking in, do you see a new artist on the street? Maybe you don't know who he is, but you're starting to see this guy pop up and you're like, yeah, man, I really like his stuff. And then maybe you learn from that and then that influences you. Because as I briefly mentioned, you know, what you did here in the studio was kind of pay tribute to a lot of, influential street artists here in Los Angeles and other places. Do you take people's influence and then, you know, say, wow, I like how he does that, and then does that help you achieve that style that you're looking for?
I think it has, yeah, definitely plays a big role in my style, because yeah, as an artist you always want to evolve to keep the eye and the mind of the person really, you know, really just wanting more, wanting to see some new stuff as opposed to staying to one basic style and it becomes boring. That's just my opinion. But I think that I definitely like have a lot of influences from graffiti to even to contemporary art, to your simple shapes, you know, abstract, structure in the city, whatever, inspires me that I feel I can apply to my art. I definitely use that as inspiration. So yeah, but with graffiti in particular, just the guys that have always kept it really raw and grimy, you know, have influenced me, because I feel that really makes me feel more loose as an artist, you know, as well. Just as far as the way that my style has developed from before up until now, you know, I've learned a lot.
Yeah. So a different kind of question. you know, one of the things that I'm always impressed with when I when I'm driving down the street and I'm taking surface streets through East LA or Koreatown or wherever it may be, I'm always impressed with you know, the really good graffiti that's out there that really catches your eye. Like, they're always they're put in a place that's just perfect. And I wonder, you know, as you got into this art, did you look at the city differently? Because now you're driving down the street and you're like, oh man, that's a good spot right there. I could do something really good there. Or, you know, I'm looking at this new building they're putting up or something or whatever. You know, it makes you look at the city a little differently because the city is now your canvas. And so as you're driving down the street, did things change for you in how you looked at the city? Because now you see the city as a place for your art to grow.
Most definitely, because, you know, in Los Angeles, you know, we live in a city of concrete jungle, you know, we're bombarded by, you know, buildings and advertisements and et cetera, you know. So most definitely, yeah, I think really studying the city has inspired me, because I feel like I know it like the back of my hand now. I've really always got a kick out of just finding a spot and actually trying to figure out how I can impact the viewer's eye by getting that visibility, as opposed to a billboard that is in your face every day, you know, that'll spark a question or interest. But definitely, and I think around the city, it's really become trendy throughout time. You know, some cats are just doing it now just because they want to jump on a bandwagon or say this is cool, when realistically it's takes more than that. I feel like I'm not a cocky person, but I definitely have a lot of humbleness in me. I stick by my name, and I definitely stand by all my spots, you know, because everything takes time and organizing and really, you know, figuring out how it's going to affect maybe even the property owner. You know, maybe they might like it and they might want to keep it up, you know. So yeah.
And that's definitely one of the things I noticed about you, and one of the things that stood out when you came here. I had a lot of guys come in here who were you know, real just stuck up, and they're just like, yeah, whatever, dude, you know, I can do whatever you want, just give me some money. And you came in, and I felt that was a difference with you, is that you were very humble and you know, you were really interested in the project. And, you know, I told you, you know, in the beginning, I want you to do something that that expresses your feeling. You know, of course I wanted a couple things at request, but you know, you really expressed yourself in a way that I was really happy with, you know.
And I like that too, because you gave me the freedom. You basically gave me the concept, which is really what my art speaks, you know, is inspired by the city, you know. So actually having the chance to really break down all the elements through music, you know, art and culture in this mural, I feel is part of my style, you know. And you giving me that opportunity, I really, you know, went into this project excited, you know. So I definitely try to throw as much influence in there as possible, so, as opposed to somebody who would have, yeah, just wanted to get paid and, you know, and slide on out.
Yeah. Yeah. So you touched on this a little bit, just talking about a lot of people getting into the game and just kind of like coming out of nowhere and not really understanding the culture behind it. There's been a kind of a hype around street art. Some things have happened. That movie was made. And, I think that kind of started to bring a lot of people into it that otherwise didn't put in the work to earn their place. Do you see that a lot? I mean, what's your feeling on that? You know, I'm talking about like the Banksys and yeah, that kind of stuff. Like,
and I think that you're right, because it's, I feel like, you know what, one word that can really describe that is hype, man. It's just really who you know, man. There's a lot of underestimated artists out there that I've worked with. And it goes the same for musicians too, but like, I feel that when you have heart and you really have something to stand behind, that there's so much beauty behind it, because there's a story to be told right there, you know? So I definitely, a lot of the art, before I give any of those dudes any props, I'll give my boys props because of what I watch them do and their lifestyles and their struggles and what goes on in their daily lives, because they're almost, in a sense, living like a movie. You know, life is not a movie, but as artists, you know, and the way that we're trying to grow with this lifestyle is we're trying to apply a bunch of the things that kind of have backed us up against the wall and turn them into positives, you know? But definitely it's who you know. With that movie right there, I think that it's impacted a bunch of people, and it's like maybe even in the wrong way too, because of street art and what it's become. You know, I don't want to label myself as a street artist, you know, I'm just an artist in general, you know, and I am making that transition, you know, and I feel like I can balance them both equally and still be satisfied whether I make it or I don't. You know, I definitely feel that a lot of the shit that's going out there, like, you know, a bunch of wheat pasting and shit, I don't necessarily agree with or give it credit because of what it stands for, as opposed to doing a physical bomb, a physical piece somewhere where you actually broke down letters and gave them structure and you know, et cetera.
And with art, there's always music. So what you did was you brought some tracks of people that have influenced you and who you like musically. So let's hear some of those tracks right now.
Yeah.
MCs that won't take shit, niggas get they face split from the energy bestowed upon me by the ancients. I go to your house and tell your moms that you ain't shit. You fucking with the rat, now he's bound to shapeshift into the rat face. Minutes make way, he bout to break shit, and in the midst of all the chaos he creates great shit. I swear motherfuckers want me to take state trips, testing my nerves, I don't have much patience. This means war, fuck the United Nations. There's no stopping me now, I'm into your creation. Fuck the piece that got murdered by my hatred. Enjoy the destruction, be sure to tip your waitress. I got a hot cup so you can taste it. Shut the fuck up, flavors, yo, and you get it all wasted. Respect and dignity are gone, so face it. Somewhere along the lines, you've misplaced it.
We're here to take out the garbage. You still talk shit, but all I hear is nonsense. We're here posted at the front door like guards to make sure this bullshit don't cause you no harm. We're here to take out the garbage. You still talk shit, but all I hear is nonsense. We're here posted at the front door like guards to make sure this bullshit don't cause you no harm. As far as I can see, we racing the standards. Eliminate evil parasites with this grammar. And if you can't grasp the speech, sit down and I'ma teach you. Running past the border as if I was illegal. You talk shit, but like Cookie, I don't believe you. Don't concentrate on what the media feeds you. Find out for yourself, be independent people. These fake cats are transparent and also see-through. It's like we all believe in some kind of force, but some have a negative course and a maniacal curriculum. And so I swing the pendulum, dump their heads in the pits for sleeping on this. The rat face menace, known for bringing furious hits. Gym collections, it's impossible to do it like this. Yeah, I said it ready to prove that this ain't no myth or no one-time shit. With this rhymes I inflict, now let's rock. We're here to take out the garbage. You still talk shit, but all I hear is nonsense. We're here posted at the front door like guards to make sure this bullshit don't cause you no harm. We're here to take out the garbage. You still talk shit, but all I hear is nonsense. We're here posted at the front door like guards to make sure this bullshit don't cause you no harm.
Thank you. You are now listening to a Brother Beat, bitches.
Yo era feliz contigo, fielidad, 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 fielidad,
we'll be right back.
All right, we're back with Tony T. Tell us where we can find out more information about you and see some of your work online.
You can check me out at beholdlongevity.com. That's my website. It's still under construction a bit, but for the most part, has the more recent projects I've been working on. So check it out.
Cool, and we'll mention that again. We'll once we have this online, we'll put a link up for that as well.
For sure.
So one of the things that I'm always curious about is the kind of things that the artists have to deal with when trying to do their art. You know, the spots that you guys hit and the places you guys go, it's not always necessarily something that's sanctioned by the city. So tell me a little bit about, you know, the preparation that goes into picking a spot. Okay, you picked a spot. Now, you know, you have to figure out when and where, when and how you're going to pull it off. Tell me a little bit about that.
I think for the most part, most of the guys I've painted with usually like to plan out a production before it actually goes down. So there's a concept behind it. But before all that, you know, there's scouting and, you know, scoping spots out for high visibility, you know, high volume traffic areas where you would, you know, you make more noise. But I think a lot of times we come unprepared as well, which is, I think, kind of gives it more rawness. You know, it's a little bit more freedom. You know, everybody gets together and it's just like one of those things where we all just vibe out and paint pieces or collaborate. But, man, there's so much shit that goes behind it, you know, whether it's a commission job and we have to deal with permits as far as, you know, the city's so picky in general, just that there's so much, you know, like we have to deal with different personalities as far as cops, you know, we never know how they're going to react to it. I've had times where we're painting an alley and, you know, the sheriffs come and run everybody's name for no reason. You know, everybody's out here trying to do something positive. You know, we're not out there doing violent, negative shit. You know, we're just vibing out. And I think just the fact that the medium that we use, we're judged on, and that plays a big role in when we're painting. Cause a lot of time, a bystander will be driving by and see some guy spraying and automatically assume that it's illegal, and they'll make that phone call and the cops will come out. The cops come out and start asking for permits and whatnot. And then that just really depends on it. You know, if they want to harass you, they will. But for the most part, you know, I haven't run into anything too crazy. You know, even sometimes, you know, depending on the area you're painting, for example, if you're painting in a, you know, low poverty area, you know, middle class, if there's gangs in that area, more than likely they'll stop by and they'll like it and, you know, and hang out with you, or you'll have your knuckleheads come by and try to tax you for some paint. And that really, you know, those are some of the crazier times where you have to box somebody for your paint. And then not only that, you gotta fucking leave your spot because of some, you know, something that's not necessary, you know, something that shouldn't be going on, but a lot of people don't accept it.
Is the assumption, when somebody, drives by, is the assumption that if they see somebody spray painting that it is gang related, just automatically, do people think that?
Oh, most definitely. I think so. At least the majority of people, you know, if it's somebody is driving by and they see a hand in the air with a spray can, I feel that it's just really on that person. You know, if they want to push the issue, you know, they can make some shit up over the phone call. They can say some guys are out here doing graffiti. They might have a gun, or, you know, make something up. And then next thing you know, you have 20 squad cars out there harassing you when you have permission for a wall. Then that becomes a problem because the owners start to look at it like, what's really going on? And, you know, you run into a bunch of different situations there, but there's a lot of positives that also come out of it as well. You know, for example, people driving by that appreciate it will pull over and, you know, talk to you about it, get to know you. And if they're interested in some work, there's more work right there, you know?
So that's cool. Like you've been approached for pay gigs based on things that people have seen you do willingly. Cool. So tell me a little bit more about, maybe just give me an example of a situation where you know, just shit went wrong and you were out doing your thing and it went all wrong.
Man, this is a pretty crazy story. It's, kind of something that was forced on me, but didn't really like the way it went down, but it is what it is. And we're painting this spot in, South Central Los Angeles, maybe about, like 2002, 2003. Not too sure. But we're painting in the gang area. And we had, these guys kept walking by, you know, they were digging what we were doing. It was a bunch of youngsters actually that were supporting it. And we're getting to wrap it up for the day. And as we're getting ready, I see this guy approaching me with like this very anxious look. And he looks at me and he's like, "Hey, Holmes, you're going to hit up my hood right now. If not, I'm going to smoke you." And I'm just looking at this guy like, "Are you serious?" And he pulls out a gun right there. This guy walks to the corner of the street. And this guy is just keeping a lookout. This guy's dead serious. And, you know, some of my boys are looking at me like, "I don't know, man, do it." You know, so I guess I was put in a situation where I was backed up against a wall where, you know, I had no choice but to, you know, put respect. I'm not going to say the name of the gang, but respect this gang or whatever. The guy comes back and he's like, "You should have done it bigger." He just walks away. So I was like, fuck, man, that was close call, you know, but it happens. And those are risks that we take, you know, because, for example, in an area like that, you know, you have a bunch of kids walking by. So, you know, when we go out and we paint our names in areas like that, I kind of try to influence more of the youngsters just so they won't lean towards gang banging or tag banging, you know, but that they'll appreciate what it is, you know, and, sometimes those are some of the consequences that come with it, man.
So, one thing I wanted to find out from you, as you are starting to do more, work, to express your art, but at the same time, support yourself. The people that you work with on the street, do they understand what you're trying to do? Do they think that, it's good what you're doing, like doing more, you know, pay gigs to try to support yourself? Or is there some, do they think you're like selling out or anything like that?
Not at all, actually, because everybody actually shows so much support, because most of the guys I paint with occasionally are chasing that same dream, and it's not setting out because, you know, we're artists in general, born artists. It just really depends on what path in your career you want to take. And, you know, I'm making a transition, but I'm not forgetting where my roots come from as well. You know, a lot of people accept it, and, you know, you're going to have your haters here and there. It's those people that stick by your side that really show you, you know, who has heart and, you know, who really, you know.
There's nothing more powerful than being successful at what you love to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, you know, since the beginning, I started off doing smaller gigs, from illustrations. I did a lot of sign painting for a while. I guess you could call it, you know, a stage in my life where I was, I finally accepted the fact that I wasn't going to work for the man and I was going to start putting matters into my own hands. So I really started doing research and, you know, kind of just took things into my own hands. So I definitely feel that I've evolved, you know, cause I've experimented with so much from, you know, sign painting to you know, scenic work, graffiti. You know, and I've made some mistakes in the past where I've walked into situations where I really ask my question, okay, am I selling out by doing this? And I've taken leaps where I've had the chance to pull back, which is a good thing, because if I would have pursued certain projects like that, I think that it wouldn't have gotten me anywhere, you know, and that really just told me a lot too, you know, stick with who you are and the people you surround yourself around, because it's only going to make you stronger.
Cool.
Positive energy, man.
All right, you want to play some more tracks?
You.
Go for it.
can't stop our shine.
As we be doing it right in the world of darkness, we bring in the light.
Go run it, cause you feel the best. No easy fix, you ain't ready for this. This is real time.
And we don't need no clips, we settle scores with these lyrics and fists. I'm trying to live my life decent, but they focus on my past and not the recent. Hoping they can throw me in the precinct. I always leave them puzzled like some sphinxes. Racing for my life but not for pink slips. So many people think these dudes been knocked down into pieces. It's only giving me more facts to put in my thesis. More hate for that type of currency that creases. And more nuts to give my brethren, more nephews and nieces. Oh Jesus, yeah that's my name, best to believe this. It's the holy man but not the religious type that preaches. I stay away from culture vultures and energy leeches. Cause I plan to pull myself up as high as my talent reaches. If you don't like my shit, y'all to each it. Oh, you ain't listening to what the message teaches. Too blown, I'll be assassinated for one of my speeches by drone in the future, but until then, I'ma make these beats fall.
I love my belly,
you're
so cold and
tuck
your tail. Hey,
run to
your crew, can't stop
our shine. Cause we be doing it right in the world of darkness. We bring in the light.
Go run it, cause you feel the best. No easy fix, you ain't ready for this. This is real time.
And we don't need no clips, we settle scores with these lyrics and fists.
Now let's take it back to where it all started. So cavalier, ABCs, cause so retarded. The niggas I grew up with, they was part of the problem. So they had no solution, I must admit that I had my share of contribution. Yes, to being a nuisance, not being productive, but I don't regret it, cause that's what made the man that is here today. The MC, the artist, I'm here to pay the way for what's left of the middle class immigrants and frustrated citizen. For this fight, I'll gladly be the middleman. I got the kids' attention, I don't need no riddling to teach them to focus, not to follow images. Don't believe in the lies that are publicized. Them collection team is here 2-7 times. This isn't something you could put down the set aside. Look at them terrified, scattering to run and hide.
Suck your tail, hey, run to your crew.
Can't stop our shine.
As we be doing it right in the world of darkness, we bring in the light.
Go run it, cause you feel the best. No easy fix, cause you ain't ready for this.
This is real time. And we don't need no clips, we settle scores with these lyrics and bits.
Let's begin. The same story of many men living, trying to hustle just to make dividends. Still trying to get paid, making moves with my friends. Capitalize on providing all of these blends of mad mediums, both sounds and visuals. We be on this shit here habitual, and it's pitiful that we ain't getting paid yet. You ain't shit if you ain't getting a paycheck, and I ain't yet supporting myself through creativity. All the other jobs I've had have just been whack activities placed in my past since nativity, making it real hard for Jesus to feel any divinity. I'm making my voice heard around my vicinity, ready to eat all day just like a seeing enemy. Eventually I'ma have to start getting paid though. I don't wanna be rich, but I ain't trying to stay broke.
Hey yo, we coming through the record in seconds. It's quite impressive, but the lessons I'm projecting and messages get rejected, so I'm guessing that this hustle remains. It's my profession, man, I feel like I'm just running in place. It got me stressing, yo, we coming through the record in seconds. It's quite impressive, but the lessons I'm projecting and messages get rejected, so I'm guessing that this hustle remains. It's my profession, man, I feel like I'm just running in place. It got me stressing.
It's more expensive now to stay alive. Unemployment rate so high, you can't even find a 9-to-5. I wanna find a job, but I also lack the driver. Is it the expensive gas? I can't afford to fit in the ride. It's not just the pride, yo, bullshit aside, I want my family to be proud when they see I provide from this music shit. And that's exactly why I strive. But this underground life makes it hard to survive.
job. Cause me and commercial rap just don't coincide. Once I heard it go back, I felt I had to take a dive under the surface where all these gifts hide. And when we blow up, it'll make you feel like the messiahs have arrived. My lungs are never thirsty, always weed inside. Plus I like to roam the streets where the heathens stride. Cause in the end, it's all just us. Ready to erupt on these fake busters.
Hey yo, we coming through the record in seconds. It's quite impressive, but the lessons I'm projecting, the messages get rejected. So I'm guessing that this also remains. This is my profession, man. I feel like I'm just running in place. It got me stressing. Yo, we coming through the record in seconds. It's quite impressive, but the lessons I'm projecting, the messages get rejected. So I'm guessing that this also remains. It's my profession, man. I feel like I'm just running in place. It got me stressing.
Big motherfucking J-Rap monster. Nigga rock him on the beats. What up? Ace one up on the hook.
Yeah. All right. What's up? All right. So now you know. Now what we're going to talk about is a little bit about our history here at Skid Row Studios with you. We met. I had interviewed a bunch of people. I think my business partner Joel put an ad up on Craigslist, just looking for someone that could do something with our walls here at the studio. We just moved into this place in January, and it was looking like a hospital office or something, and so we were looking for somebody, but I didn't want just anybody. There's plenty of artists here in Los Angeles. It's not hard to find an artist, but I wanted somebody that would do something that would really kind of highlight the city and that Los Angeles culture. I think for anybody that's listening to this, who's not from Los Angeles, who only knows Los Angeles from what they see on television, you get a really distorted view about the people of Los Angeles. And one of my goals whenever I meet somebody that's not from this city is to try to show them some things that, you're not gonna see on TV and, all about, the acting in Hollywood and that kind of stuff. That's what people see. But that's not really Los Angeles. So, Tony, there was just something about, it was a few of those images that I saw on your website. I think the one that really caught my eye is you had an image where it was like, looking through a crack in the wall and beyond that wall was the city. It was like a hole in the wall, right?
Yeah.
And, to me, that kind of, that symbolized how I feel some people's perception of Los Angeles is. They look at the surface, but if you break through that surface, you really see a beautiful city.
So yeah, definitely, that piece actually did that, I think maybe about two years ago. And, I kind of want to just give it this, this nightlife look, where I try to emphasize all the lights. To really give the city life and movement, just through the buildings, there's no figures, nothing really moving, just very still and calm and pleasing.
So talk a little bit about what it was you did for us here. I know, I had a few things that I just wanted, that were influences of mine that Tony T brought to life here in our studio. Charles Bukowski was one of them. And, still I'm amazed by that drawing and that painting that you did of Charles Bukowski. And you did this great, you did this great thing with the smoke from his cigarette. Turned into one of his quotes that says, poetry happens when nothing else can. And that is very powerful, the way that you took that and did your interpretation on it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm more a visual person. I feel that just by you introducing me to this person of many talents, was really inspired me to start looking outside, the writers I'm used to. So that quote in general, really speaks a lot for the mural as well.
And then you did a Krabby Joe's piece for me. Krabby Joe's
is sick.
Everybody likes the Krabby Joe's painting. It's Krabby Joe's was a bar on Skid Row in downtown Los Angeles on 7th and Main that had a big influence on my life when I first moved to Los Angeles. I feel like Krabby Joe's was a place where you could see both the joy and the insanity of this city in one spot. And they were forced out by the city Christmas Eve of 2007. They had to shut their doors for various reasons. The city is kind of gentrifying the downtown Los Angeles area and trying to clean up, as they say. You know, Bukowski used to have a quote that if you clean up a city, you ruin this city. And in some ways, I believe that. Nonetheless, you did a great picture of there was a man dressed in a Santa Claus outfit on Christmas Eve of 2007 when Krabby Joe's closed, and you did a beautiful painting of him.
Yeah, I had fun doing that one, man, for sure. As a matter of fact, recently I felt like that scene in particular was in one of my dreams, man. Like,
wow.
Yeah, like quick snippet, you know. But definitely the Krabby Joe sign, I think, is what it is really what I had a lot, you know, even that project right there, you know, just like experimenting with different techniques as far as like making the neon signs glow and stuff like that. I had fun doing that. And that's what I'm referring to, in one of my dreams recently where I was driving by and I drove by, and that definitely inspired me for sure, just because of the guy that's outside too, you know, just in this very dramatic, striking pose of why are you taking all I've got, in a sense, you know. So I definitely was really moved by that image. So when you shot me that, I couldn't wait to get to it, man. So sure.
So tell us about some of the other things that you did here. What I said to Tony T when he came in here is, you know, I got a few things that I want to see just because they're influences in my life, but the rest is yours. Go for it. And you really took it and then turned it into a dedication to the influences in your life. So maybe speak a little bit about the different things that you put on our walls.
For sure, man. So around the corner from the Krabby Joe's, I have the California parakeet and the pigeon, which Alex actually told me, man, those are the ghetto birds right there, man. You know, straight up, those are the true eyes in the sky. You know, they are what give us our blessings. You know, I feel that, you know, I wanted to add those because the pigeon in general really shows so much griminess and has so much history behind them. And the California parakeet, you know, speaks, you know, of California. And I think that they work well together. I really, had a lot of fun doing that. I threw the crown above the parakeet. Just because I feel like that's one of the, characters I want to start putting out there a little bit more, with the pigeon. Reminded me a lot of Alex. You know, Alex actually helped me put this project together as well. So it kind of reminded me of him in a way, you know, where he grew up and the influences that he's gotten. You know, I feel like we've shared a lot in common. So painting that kind of was a little dedication to, you know, us in this mural. So around the corner from that is a shot of, Zess doing one of these crazy hangovers that he does around the city. And he's also played a big influence in my, in my passion that I have. He's taken things to the extreme, and watching him grow as an artist really has shown me a lot, you know, that there's so much obstacles you can climb, and you keep climbing that ladder, you know, eventually, you know, you reach top. So I feel that by me actually painting an action shot of him doing one of his famous hangover spots.
Is he known for like getting into these hard spots his work?
Yeah, definitely. He's known for a lot of those tags around the city. And I think that even before I met him, you know, they definitely played a big role in my style. You know, I was really inspired by it. This really made me, made really have soul for this, you know, really stand by what, you know, what they're trying to, what message they're trying to send. And in that case right there, you know, he spoke pretty loud. And, you know, to this day, it's cool, man. He's a good friend of mine. And,
So in that sense, it's not only about the art, but it's about the struggle to get to the place where you put your art. And that speaks in itself.
Yeah, taking matters into your own hand, you know, eye visible spots, like I was saying, really shows you passion right there, because he's known around the city for getting a lot of those. Watching those kind of just pop up randomly around the city really like made me feel like, wow, who's this dude? Why is he doing this? And when I you know, getting to know him as a person, I can understand. I can connect the pieces. So around the corner from that, we got the famous Felipe's sandwich, man. And that's a place I've been going to since I was a kid with my pops, man. It's all day French dip sandwiches. You don't know about Felipe's, your sleep.
It's about that mustard, man.
that mustard. Anytime, if you take a new booty there and you give him some of that mustard, you're going to have a fucking laugh. Yeah, you're going to, it's funny, man, because actually my dad played that same trick on me. He just said, just drown it, you know? So I went for it. And the results I got were fucking teary eyes, man. It's no joke. But Felipe is a landmark in Los Angeles. And I feel that I wanted to incorporate that because, you know, you have all kinds of Angelinos going there. You have, you know, your city workers, you have homeless people, you have, you know, law enforcement. You have a lot of writers that go there as well too. You know, if you look upstairs, there's so much graffiti up there, but it's very archival, I feel, in a sense, like everybody who's there, who left the spot there, has done their share around the city. It's kind of cool. But I wanted to do, something a little bit more than that for that image. I did a homeless man with his shopping cart, you know, stacked to the top, you know, who knows what he has in those bags, you know, but this dude's crossing the street with, you know, this expression on his face, like, man, it just came up, you know, and I really had a lot of fun painting that one as well, man. I really wanted to show the essence of grinding, you know, and by any means what it takes, you know. And this guy has this shit over exaggeratingly like stacked, like it's straight tied down to his shopping cart. I mean, you're an Angelino and you've you know, you've been around the city, I'm sure you've seen guys, you know, carrying two shopping carts at the most, you know, or even more, you know. And it really shows you, you know, that people are really out there, you know, trying to get it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those guys, you'll notice, they got their whole route, you know?
Yeah.
They wake up early in the morning, man. They got their route, and they go out, and they find cans or whatever they can. But, you know, I'm thinking to myself, man, I would never work that hard, man. These guys are fucking hard workers, man.
Hell yeah. I can only imagine, too, that there's politics behind, like, okay, like you said, routes, you know? And maybe there's a guy that'll go and, maybe, let's say, for example, if he's going down Spring and he's going to cover all the streets from 1st to 7th, all his trash cans, and he catches some other guy, you know, digging through his gold, you know, there's going to be problems there. And
hey, man, you're on my route, man. Get off my route. Yeah, man, definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, man, that one you can see as soon as you walk in, you know, I think it's kind of what I was aiming for as well, you know, Skid Row Studios, you know, and a lot of the beauty that there is in Skid Row and what comes out of Skid Row, and how much talent there is there as well. So I definitely wanted to show that as soon as you walk in, you know, struggle, but beauty behind it. Yeah, man.
What else?
Okay. So when you walk into your left, you have your, you know, you have all your buildings there, all your warehouses and sweatshops. And I really wanted to just emphasize how a bunch of the buildings down there are very kind of grimy in a sense, but in a way for us, it's our playground too. You know, it's like, you know, it's where we get to go as night owls and just kind of roam the streets and have fun. When other people disagree with it, but I try to really, do that with the background, as far as with the background, like from the tent to the buff marks on the building, you know, I threw a bunch of subliminal messages in there as well that have influenced me as far as writers and even the color schemes I use there. You know, there's certain areas where you can see how far shit's pushed back and makes you kind of wonder what's beyond that point. You know, is there a light at the end of the tunnel? It's when there's, in this case right here, you're there already. You know, you're living it. I kind of wanted to give that message across. And then you have the Sweet and Low vibe kind of dipping around the corner. You know, like this, you know, hot box to the max. I think that was kind of funny too. You know, but, you know, doing that on a lonely street kind of represent the low keyness.
For those that don't know, the Sweet and Low truck from Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, yeah. And I did the through the window. You can see it's very foggy, but a cherry lit.
Yeah.
So yeah. You know, I signed it right under that as well. And coming up and around, you can see I threw in throwback writer that I think was one of the cats that really influenced my style and what I stand for as well. That dude, Ayer LTS, was a amazing writer, just from what I've seen. Fortunately, I wasn't part of his generation, but the amount of work that he left behind for his age was just really amazing and moved me, you know, just by flipping through magazines as a kid and watching the spots he used to get. It's cool to be part of his crew, you know, it's, you know, cause it leaves a legacy in a sense, you know, and, I really wanted to, you know, give him a shout out right there for sure. Just because of how much heart he had for the game, you know, so yeah, I threw that in there. As you walk a little over to your right, you know, you see this view of this couple on this hill, you know, I almost feel like if you're looking at it maybe from East LA, you know, on top of a hill, you know, this couple just kind of overlooking with downtown Los Angeles, I felt was very, very, you know, beautiful. So I wanted to make it so that there was, you know, some bit of love in there, you know, love for the city, I guess you can call it, with this, a 6'7" Chevelle in there overlooking the city. I wanted to put downtown LA above as if it was sitting on an island in a sense, because it's kind of like, you know, we're in a concrete jungle. So I put all these palm trees and, you know, these different buildings around it to kind of emphasize that as well, which was cool. I really had a lot of fun doing that as well. And around the corner from that, you have Zach De La Rocha, which Alex Morrow painted. He helped me out with the rest of the mural, which was that he painted that portrait. Amazing, man. I'm really impressed by the cross hatching he did on that. But, for me and him, he played a big influence. You know, he was a sick artist, you know, and what he stands for. And, you know, I don't need to say anymore if you know Zach De La Rocha is, you know, he's definitely, I feel, made some noise in the city and changes and really opened eyes. So we wanted to put him in there, you know, looking out of the window here, you can see him. It's the first thing you see.
You know, I heard a story about Zach De La Rocha. He's a humble guy because, one of the guys from one of the other shows here at Skid Row Studios, said that he threw a show at his house, you know, invited a bunch of bands. The Mormons were one of the bands that he invited play at his house.
Yeah.
And, this was when, you know, like Rage Against the Machine was blowing up.
Yeah, at its prime.
Yeah, at its prime. And he was like setting up his drum set for him, you know, like between bands and stuff, like just a regular humble dude, you know, and he's like, man, you know, Rage Against the Machine's at its top right now. And the dude's over here just setting my drums up for me, you know?
Hell yeah.
So, you know, that's really cool.
Yeah, definitely, man. I can see that, you know, yeah, I mean, you can, I'm inspired by so much music. I am not just necessarily hip hop. You know, I'm very open minded and neutral to that. But, his stuff really gets me going, man. You know, his last concert he threw, you know, we all went out there and supported, you know, to see Rage back together for that event was good. So that was kind of cool. Around the corner from that, you have all these buildings, which if you just look at, you probably wouldn't understand so much. You can definitely tell it's in the ghetto, you know, straight up. But the architecture of the houses, I definitely wanted to emphasize that as well. I wanted to, you know, throw in some Chinatown houses in there, you know, South Central, you know, I threw in a couple of different beat up cars in there as well. Alex did a really good job on that. And we just wanted to give it a perspective, like you were standing back and kind of just, you know, filling out this very subtle but beautiful environment that's in front of you. And doing all the texture for the concrete, like using our scenic tactics, I guess, really helped out for that too. It was, that was a pretty fun technique there. Well, in the center of that, you have your two Angelinos, what I named them. You have them in these, you know, you have these two natives, you know, your original Californians. I did them in blue tones too, you know, obviously because we're in Los Angeles and I made a father and his son because it kind of reminded me, of me and my dad, you know, and the role that he played and how much support he had for me. So in a sense, it's kind of dedicated to that. You know, the influences that he had on my life, you know, as a huge artist as well. You know, never nothing serious, but in my eyes, you know, he's like the biggest influence as far as my art career goes. So I definitely wanted to throw that in there and you know, kind of make it seem like they were, you know, appearing, you know, like it had energy, which has this crazy glow around it, this neon glow around it that made me feel like I wanted to make a point by making them stand out as much as possible.
I always like to think that that it's kind of ghosts of the indigenous Angelinos, kind of still here with us, you know, looking over what we're doing with the city, you know.
Yeah, our protectors in a sense.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah, for sure. I really like the results of those two figures. A little over to the right of that, you have you know, you still have you have like this sweatshop right there. You can really tell, you know, you can really tell that there's some silhouettes in there of a couple guys, you know. If you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But there's a couple guys in there, you know. You know, I kind of have this story behind it where it's like I've worked at a sweat factory, so with all the things that went on in there as far as how some of the guys would take advantage of their break and what they would do on their break, kind of incorporated in there. You had these dudes pounding right there, you know, having some cold ones. And then when they're a floor above that, you know, there's this couple, you know, kind of getting frisky, you know, and it's like, you know, I wanted to throw that in there because I found that very, you know, very, very interesting in a sense too, is because of what they've, you know, what type of work they're here to do and just kind of just, you know, having a good time, you know, on their free time in this 9-hour day where they're fucking busting balls, you know. So definitely wanted to throw that in there. To the right of that, you have this truck, this like bobtail that I feel around the city is something that is a little underrated, but it's kind of like moving billboards for us in a sense, you know. A lot of times what we do is we go out and we, you know, whether it's illegal or legal, you know, we've painted these beautiful pieces on these trucks. And I definitely wanted to throw that in there because those are like the hitchhikers of the city. They get around and they travel and I threw my boy Cray in there, my boy Cray for K4P, which also is a very influential artist to this day. Because of how beautifully he flexes his letters, it's from bubbles to straight letters. And, so I definitely wanted to give him some props on there, you know, and on that image in particular, you know, on a bobtail. So yeah, as you wrap around, you know, you have Bukowski right there. Bukowski. That was fun too, cause I, you know, even with him, I was experimenting with a couple of different techniques and, you know, just with the cross hatching on it, I felt that his style, from what you've introduced to me, was very rich, but still grimy, which I find to be, you know, very inspiring as well. So I kind of wanted to incorporate that into the way that I painted him. And you can tell, you know, that it's kind of rough, but to the point, you know. And so, yeah, that one was a lot of fun. To the far right of that, you have James Worthy dunking on the moon. That's also one Alex painted, which came out beautiful. He couldn't have done a better job on that. I think we went throwback on that with Worthy, as opposed to throwing like Kobe. Just because I feel like it, it was more necessary. You know, with the amount of time that we had. But yeah, for the most part, it came out cool, man. Surrounding the whole mural, half a mural below that, I did a bunch of like cracking rock effect, you know, like kind of a concrete texture, you know, where you're in the concrete jungle. So that's really what I wanted to represent by that, you know. And I think it kind of perspectively, it gives everything volume, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you were dedicated to this, man, and you were working long hours day in, day out to do this. And, we really appreciate it. Everybody that comes in here, you know, right away, it's like, they come in here and they're like, oh, you guys aren't messing around. You know, like this is for real. And the artwork helps us, you know, tell people that we're not messing around and we want to do this for real. And we want to get those stories out there on our various radio shows. You know, that's what we do.
Yeah. So, and that inspires me too, because of what you're doing and just from what you've told me of where you've came from and where you're at now. You know, you got your studio now, and I found that story to be very, very inspiring as well, because, you know, you came from doing shows out of your house, of your own place, to here, and that's a big leap, you know. And so I definitely took you serious on that note. And not just that, but the fact that you gave me the freedom to throw all my inspirations in there, and your inspirations really pumped me up to just, you know, like, you know, there's no time limit on it. Although I always like to have a time limit because I'm always testing myself as an artist. I had a lot of fun, man. I zoned out. I zoned out on this whole mural, man. And it was a privilege for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, outside of this place and, you know, the people that have been able to come here and have been lucky enough to see your work here in our studio. How about the people that, want to see what you do outside of this office, and, where can they see you? Where's the best spots to see your work?
Well, you know, I'm still emerging. I feel like I have an okay amount under my belt, but I was, you know, still love to make noise. But, one piece that I'm proud of for sure is the Amoeba project we did, Michael Alvarez, we did at Amoeba Records. Me and Mike, man, we were working on that project for a while too. A lot of passion came out of that one. A lot of research. It was like almost a year of just planning, but the end results really, really, really was satisfying, you know. But it was cool because we incorporated all the genres and culture of music in that mural. Has so much energy. But if you want to check that out, that's at Amoeba Records. So if you're walking in from Sunset, it's in the flyer room to your left, above all the flyers, obviously. We did the walls, ceiling. That was a cool gig. But so there's that one. Actually, I just recently did one as well on Nick's Cafe. This one was more of a mural dedicated to the city. You know, it had your firemen, your cops, your city workers. That's at Nick's Cafe off of South Spring Street.
North Spring, right?
Oh yeah, North Spring. Excuse me. Yeah, North Spring. Yeah. So there's those two. There's a couple more. I mean, if you look on the site, there's more paintings than anything. Actually, there's an equal amount of both, but like I said, I'm still emerging, you know, and I still have a bunch of, projects up my sleeve that I feel that I'm gonna, rather put into action as opposed to, you know, spoil, I don't want to jinx myself, you know. So I definitely just be on the lookout, you know, beholdlongevity.com, you know, be updating my my blog so that you can, you know, kind of keep tabs with what I'm working on. But definitely in the mural sense, you know, that Amoeba one is really the one that I feel speaks the loudest right now. Along with this one, you know, if you haven't seen the Skid Row mural, you definitely, a lot of times I feel like the pictures don't do it justice, you know, and I'm talking about most of the work I've done. So it's like, you know, if you ever get a chance, you know, definitely check it out. Real proud of this mural.
Yeah, if anybody wants to come down to Skid Row Studios just to check out what Tony T has done here, you know, get in contact with us and we can set something up so you can come by and see this amazing artwork. Amoeba, anybody can go to Amoeba, so go to Amoeba, check it out, and check out beholdlongevity.com.
Yeah, and you can also check out Michael Alvarez Art. .com. I think it's .com. If not, you can Google him. Michael Alvarez Art. Me and him did that job equally, together, you know, so he's also another amazing artist. I feel that a lot of people are sleeping on. So definitely check that out.
And you wanted to talk about, you wanted to mention the music that you've played.
Yeah, definitely. I think we opened up with some Rock'em Beats track, which is a younger cat that I met last year. Really doing it. He's, you know, music in general inspires me, you know, all types of music, but especially the beat conductors that I surround myself around really show me how much passion they have for it and the competitive side to it as well, you know. So I really see these guys just busting ass all the time. Rock'em, you have J-Rap Monster, which is a beast. He gets down, you know, on the mic and on the beats as well. And then you have my cousin Bravo Beats right here, who's also been hungry and really, really like just putting in serious work on the last tracks I've heard. Like for the last 2 years, he's been putting in work. I think the majority of them, you can find them on SoundCloud. But yeah, definitely I wanted to throw those tracks out there, you know, so people could know, you know, what I'm listening to, you know, and not just that, man, but it's music that's slept on, man, that I feel that was necessary.
All right, Tony T.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in here and having this conversation with us. I feel like, you know, Tony T is a representation of the real people of this city. And that's the people I want to highlight. And I want people to talk about Tony T and his artwork. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity. You know, this definitely, I'm always a little skeptical when it comes to interviews and stuff like that, but I'm definitely, always challenging myself as a as a person and communicating with people. This right here, I think kind of gave me the opportunity to finally break down the mural and what it meant and what I've been pursuing. So I really appreciate the opportunity, man. For real.
Thank you, man.
Much love, man. For sure.
Thank you. All right. So we're going to end this with maybe a couple more music tracks. Do you know what's playing next?
Yeah, the next track you're about to hear is my cousin Bravo Beat, Beast on the Beats, man. Check him out.
All right, man. Thank you.
For sure. Thank you, Jeremy.
ábreme la puerta, puerta, ábreme la puerta, puerta, ábreme la puerta, puerta, ábreme la puerta, puerta. Ábreme la puerta, puerta, ábreme la puerta, puerta, ábreme la puerta, puerta, ábreme la puerta. Every day.